Listener's discretion is advised. Okay, let's do it. Good evening to all the parties who are listening here on this Sunday edition of Random Stuff Season 4, the first Sunday in the month of August of 2023. And of course, the second episode in the month of August. School is about a few minutes away, weeks away, sorry. Some schools will start on Monday, tomorrow. Others will start next week, and some other schools, like me going to Fresno State, will be 2 weeks away. Now, let's start off yesterday's Xfinity Series race, the NASCAR Xfinity Series race. John Hunter Nemechek got a spin and win situation because he was involved with his Xfinity teammate Sammy Smith and Ty Gibbs. Mostly Ty Gibbs, because Ty Gibbs believed that he, John Hunter Nemechek, spun Ty Gibbs during the early runs of the race. Ty Gibbs showed his displeasure and anger, and after John Hunter Nemechek won and gave Joe Gibbs Racing their 200th Xfinity Series win ever, here is what he had to say on his on-track victory interview with NBC Sports pit reporter Kim Kuhn.
Can you believe it? Your team told you you made a win out of that. They referenced the early race incident. You rebounded. You survived a late race restart. How'd you do it?
a great team. And man, I'm grateful for this whole 20 bunch. Grateful for Joe Gibbs Racing, this opportunity. Mobile One, Pi Barker, all of our great partners that help us get to the racetrack. And our Toyota GR Supra was as fast as Xfinity 10G today. But I have to apologize to Ty. I've been the one that's been very vocal about teammates here recently. And I put him in a bad aero spot, got him loose, and then couldn't check up. And it's my mistake. So I hate that we both spun early, but at least we both rebounded decently. I know he's not too happy with me, so he has every right not to be. But thankful for my team, all the guys. Win number 5 after the last 2 weeks. We said that we needed to come out here and answer, and we were able to do that today here in Michigan. And man, what a great crowd. This is awesome. Thank all you fans for coming out. Appreciate it. Taylor and Aspen are actually at home, so I'll see them when I get home. But hopefully, at the start of the day today, Taylor is due any day now. So who knows? We may go have a baby tonight. That'd be awesome.
You apologized to Ty Gibbs, your teammate. What do you think the reception is going to be? He was very vocal about how you raced him.
I think that we both need to talk, and I definitely will initiate that conversation. I got to go back and see a replay, too. I don't know too much of what happened. I know that he had cleared me, and I had slid up behind him, and I think when I slid, it took the air off the rear bumper. He checked up, and then I barely tapped him in the back, and then I got ran into. So just chain reaction of events, and probably shouldn't have put myself in that situation. Just need to be a little bit smarter, but we'll see how he receives it. Grateful to still be here and win this race, but we definitely will chat about it.
Enjoy the win.
Thank you.
John Hunter Nemechek, 5th win of the season for this team.
Well, I don't know if Ty Gibbs is open to talking to John Hunter Nemechek when John Hunter Nemechek knew that he got turned by Ty Gibbs back in, last year's spring race at Richmond. Actually, Xfinity Series only goes to Richmond one time. Right. So last year's Richmond race, in the last lap, Ty Gibbs, little bump and run on John Hunter Nemechek to win. Yes, that last year was the year Ty Gibbs became the Xfinity Series champion. Much to everyone's hate, well, almost everyone, unless you're a Ty Gibbs fan. yeah, I guess feelings mutual. I don't think that John Hunter Nemechek would forget that from the inside, but he's quick to forget sometimes about what happened between him and Ty Gibbs at Richmond. But, hey, you gotta move on, right? I think they can move on from it because Ty Gibbs is driving for Joe Gibbs Racing full-time in the Cup Series. I almost said Xfinity Cup Series. He can only do full-time in the Cup Series this year, and he's automatically a lock for Rookie of the Year because Noah Gregson, who is a now suspended indefinitely by not just the Legacy Motor Club, but NASCAR itself for liking a meme of George Floyd. Yes, the meme, the George Floyd meme. We all know what happened to him about getting his head struck down by a knee of an officer. We all know that story. And boy, that meme is bad. I really believe the meme that Noah Gregson liked is terrible. And probably this is not going to be the same effect that Kyle Larson had when Kyle Larson said the N-word during an iRace and got suspended indefinitely by NASCAR and got released by Chip Ganassi Racing. There's a possibility that Legacy Motor Club would release Noah Gregson and probably get John Hunter Nemechek back in the Cup Series to take over next year in 2024. Who knows? But let's move on to SummerSlam from last night, where since I switched to Xfinity, I got to see it for the first time, and you know, I got free 2-year streaming of Peacock, thank the Lord. I actually watched most of it. Actually, all but one match. I actually watched the whole fucking thing, including an opening matchup between Logan Paul and Ricochet, where Logan Paul cheated using the brass knuckles to defeat Ricochet. And then one of the main events, four main events that is, Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes number 3 ended with Cody Rhodes winning. And then a shocking thing happened after the match between Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes, and it goes like this. Well, as Jim Ross once said, well, I'll be damned. Sportsmanship at its finest. And then later on, at the main event, Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. It was fiery and it was brutal and shocking because of this moment at the end of this tribal combat match.
You do!
Yep. Jimmy Uso has betrayed his own twin brother to help Roman Reigns retain the undisputed WWE Universal Championship and continue the reign of terror for Roman Reigns, the tribal chief. What's gonna happen next? We don't know what is gonna happen next because, you know, probably the booking, the writing, all that, but the story, the bloodline implosion continues after SummerSlam and SmackDown this Friday, so who knows what's gonna happen. And earlier today, the conclusion of the third annual street course racing at Nashville, Tennessee ended, and Kyle Kirkwood got his second career win. And here is how it concluded with Lee Diffie of NBC Sports on that amazing call and an amazing dominance by Kyle Kirkwood throughout that Music City Grand Prix.
Andretti Autosport out the front. Andretti Autosport in control. McLaughlin saying this is history repeating. I can't believe it because he's looking at the back.
And a huge congratulations to Kyle Kirkwood getting his second win, and more importantly, Alex Palou finishing ahead of Joseph Newgarden. Palou finished third, Newgarden finished fourth, and this points battle with three more races left, one road course, and two more road courses left in the 2023 IndyCar schedule. And boy, if Alex Palou continues to keep the points lead, he will become a two-time IndyCar Series champion of, well, of Alex Palou's career. Now, that's it for this pod monologue, but after this brief ad, we're gonna get to the second back-to-back. Actually, it's back-to-back, first time video back-to-back. Why in the world is Donald Trump segment? Because of Trump's arraignment? So stay tuned, folks, on this Sunday edition, the first Sunday of 2023 in the month of August, only on Random Stuff Season 4.
Look, it's Barbie!
No, it's not. It's Georgie.
He's tall, plays volleyball, he's done it all, he's Georgie.
Georgie, the George Santos action figure who simply can't tell the truth. With so many identities to choose from, like NYU graduate Georgie.
Give me my diploma, Dean.
But you don't even go here.
I'm putting it on my resume anyway.
Broadway producer Georgie.
I produce Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
Didn't that musical suck?
No.
Volleyball Georgie?
Have you ever played volleyball?
Lady, I invented volleyball.
And grieving orphan Georgie.
My mom died in 9/11.
Georgie, come for dinner. But my maid Farofa,
she's alive!
And don't forget, Jewish Georgie.
My grandparents survived the Holocaust.
Awesome!
Collect them all. Brain surgeon Georgie. Mermaid Georgie. Magician Georgie. Ballerina Georgie. G.I. Georgie. And so many other lies he's bound to tell. It's a Georgie orgy.
Unreliable, totally liable, Georgie.
Georgie!
Polygraph machine sold separately.
Available at Rite Aid.
There he is, there you go.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
And we back, folks, and in the wake of Trump's arraignment from Thursday, why don't we recap it from tonight to get into the, for the second day in a row, a segment once ran by the host of The Late Show on CBS during Donald Trump's European tour called
Why in the World is Donald Trump?
In this back-to-back segment of Why in the World is Donald Trump is the part where I pick up where I left off from last night's edition of Random Stuff, where on August 1st, Donald Trump got indicted for the third time, and then on Thursday, he got arraigned, and then he was pleaded not guilty. Yes, not guilty. I mean, here's the story about that one.
Want to bring in Scott McFarlane, who has been watching those court proceedings and can walk us through it. He's made his way outside the courthouse now. Scott, tell us what it was like inside. What was Donald Trump's demeanor?
Donald Trump leaned right into the microphone on the rectangular table in front of him and pleaded not guilty to these four felony counts accusing him of seeking to overturn the 2020 election, which he lost. The special prosecutor just said, Nora, they're not going to seek any detention of Donald Trump or strict release conditions. He's going to be released on a bond. He doesn't actually have to post an surety bond. And there's going to be a requirement he not talk to known witnesses in this case, keeping in mind much of his inner circle could be witnesses in this case. The proceedings are really a garden variety set of proceedings in this courthouse. They do this a dozen times a day. They read the charges. They asked if he'd like them to read the full indictment, all 45 pages. He declined that. They asked him if he needed a taxpayer-funded, court-appointed lawyer. He declined that. He has his own counsel. And a couple things jumped out at me, just in his body language. Just like we saw in Manhattan a few months ago and in Miami earlier this summer, he's kind of hunched over, hands clasped, making no use of the pen and paper on the table in front of him, occasionally whispering with or hearing whispers from his attorneys on either side. But this time, Nora, unlike the last two times, he really was looking around the room, actively gazing at the spectators, keeping in mind among the spectators are some of the police officers who responded here on January 6th. The special counsel himself, Jack Smith's in the front row of the audience, and five sets of rows of spectators in the room, and Trump was looking to see who was there. He had two attorneys, one on either side, and he was facing what would be the jury box, and in essence, in between him and the jury box were the three prosecutors. His left shoulder was pointed toward the judge, the way this room is configured, so he turned his body, pivoted toward the judge, again still hunched over, again with his hands clasped, spoke in a moderate tone, not terribly forceful, not terribly loud. He said he's not guilty, and one distinctive thing, when the judge asked him his name, he said, quote, Donald J. Trump. John, referencing the J. And then when she asked his age, he said 77. Not 77, he said 77. This is going to wrap, and he's going to exit the same way he came in, through one of those secure underground garage entrances, still not accessible to photos. And when this all began, Nora, the judge kindly reminded everybody in the courtroom, in the courthouse, no phones, no photos, no taking any video today.
Scott McFarlane, you always do such an excellent job recapping what happened inside that courtroom. Thank you.
I know. It's not good. It's not good. But, you know, he will be going on a trial soon enough. But let's go to the CBS News panel and see how they reacted after all the Trump arraignment on that fateful Thursday afternoon on the eastern side of the world. Actually, the eastern side of the America. The United States of America, that is. And that will be said by Major Garrett and Scott McFarlane of CBS News.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Scott. We're just seeing footage right now of Donald Trump exiting his car. He's about to speak.
It was a very sad day for America, and it was also very sad driving through Washington, D.C., and seeing the filth and the decay and all of the broken buildings and walls and the graffiti. This is not the place that I left. It's a very sad thing to see it. When you look at what's happening, this is a persecution of a political opponent. This was never supposed to happen in America. This is the persecution of the person that's leading by very, very substantial numbers in the Republican primary and leading Biden by a lot. So if you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him. We can't let this happen in America. Thank you very much.
Do you want these trials to happen before the 2024 election?
All right. So you have just heard from the former president there, speaking for the first time since the arraignment. He is now boarding his own personal airplane at Reagan National Airport, expected to head back to his property in New Jersey. Scott, you heard him there say, claiming that this is a political prosecution. What do you make of what we just saw? Because this is the first time we're actually seeing him today.
There was just a certain air of defiance in how he carried himself in the courtroom. He, again, was really taking in the room. Spent the 20 minutes he was sitting there waiting for the judge to arrive to look through the crowd, which also included Jack Smith, the special counsel in this case. The case, though, moves here in an uncertain trajectory at an uncertain time. When his defense was offered three choices for the next hearing date, they chose the latest of the three, August 28th. And then the judge who takes over this case, the district court judge, 2014 Obama appointee Tanya Chutkin, she'll really determine the next steps and the timing of the next steps. Because really all of this is not just a prosecution, but a race against the clock for a prosecution. Former president is going to be in primary season, caucus season in a matter of months. And soon we'll have his name on a ballot for Republican voters to choose. And this set of indictments, this set of prosecutions could potentially weigh on that or be an adrenaline shot for that. And he found a way today, Caitlin, really to control the optics. He chose to come in person, didn't have to, but chose to come in person to a courthouse where cameras are prohibited. Didn't have his picture taken like so many defendants in the courtroom or walking in with police. But he did get to appear on his own terms at his own location after riding in a motorcade. Optics so very much matter. And today he controlled the optics despite being the most famous criminal defendant in America of all time.
Certainly, and no stranger to these kinds of days. Major Garrett, you have covered this former president for so long now. I'm curious what your reaction is to what happened in court today and what you just saw from him in that very short statement he just made.
So that is part and parcel of the former president's presentation that he's a victim. There is a victim complex. He's a victim of relentless persecution because he's a political figure. And as Scott just pointed out, he has privileges extended to almost no other kind of defendant that comes before the bench, federal or otherwise. He arrives when he wants to. He arrives on terms set at least partially by him. And with all the encumbrances and protections of the U.S. Marshals Service, the Secret Service. So he does control this atmosphere, even as he portrays himself as a victim, point one. Point two, there is also something that the former president likes to bathe himself in, which is the idea or the concept of angelic innocence. He's never done anything wrong. Nothing could ever be said wrong about whatever he's ever done. And related to that, talking about Washington, D.C., looking filthy, broken since he left, something unclean about it, something illegitimate about it. That's part of the public relations campaign that the jurisdiction with which this case will be heard, within which this case will be heard, is somehow unclean up against this angelic innocence of a president who could do nothing wrong and who never did anything wrong. Last point. Why are we here? Why are these hundreds of cameras here? Why is the crowd of onlookers here? Why is there this massive security perimeter? Because on January 6th, feet from where Scott McFarland and I are standing, just over there, the West Front, and to a certain extent the East Front of the Capitol, was stormed by people who believe what the former president told them, something that was fundamentally untrue, that the election had been stolen, and the only way that they could achieve their measure of political justice was to storm that Capitol, beat up policemen, and threaten lawmakers, possibly with their very lives. That's why we are here. The choices that were made, that brought January 6th to the steps of the U.S. Capitol and brought all of us here were made by one person and one person only, defendant Donald John Trump.
Well, very well said by these two journalists from CBS News, Major Garrett and Scott McFarland. Now, speaking of the trial is set, but what date is it going to be for Trump to probably not show up for the trial? Well, here is the date.
Yeah, that's right. We're now 25 minutes into this arraignment as it appears to be wrapping up, that the court clerk introduced as the United States of America versus Donald J. Trump. As you have noted, the next court date has been set for August 28th. Only thing that's striking to me there is there were 3 days that the judge had discussed as possible options, August 21st, August 22nd, or August 28th. The prosecution asked for the nearest date, August 21st. The defense asked for August 28th. It was August 28th, that Monday, that the judge decided on. So it's clear that the prosecution was looking to get things moving. The defense was glad to push things back as far as they could. Again, as things wrap up right now, we are hearing from this magistrate judge that the judge, Tanya Chutkan, does intend to set the trial date during that next hearing where the former president does not need to attend on the 28th of August. And some of the key takeaways that you guys have been discussing in a room where there are four Secret Service members standing by the door that the former president entered. We're learning some new details about the situation when the former president arrived. Jack Smith, we were told by our colleague Ken Delanian, who was watching the proceedings inside, Jack Smith did not look up at the former president as he entered. He was the only face not to do so as the entire courtroom bent its head in the former president's direction. Then after the former president took his seat at the defense table, we're told that Jack Smith did give him a look, started staring over at the defendant in this case, now a criminal defendant. But those are the key takeaways as we watch the final details here from inside. The president, as you've noted, has had it communicated to him that he cannot interfere in any way, cannot try to influence any jurors, and cannot interact with any of the witnesses in this case, which is notable because the president does have personal relationships with many of these individuals still. And we still don't know who the sixth co-conspirator is, but there is a belief, according to some reports right now, that he may be someone with whom the president routinely travels. If that's the case, that does pose a little bit of a challenge for the president right now, which is to say it's still a current advisor of the former president. All things to keep a close eye on as we watch the way this legal matter proceeds.
Now, the real question is, will Trump be able to escape from harm or danger? I think the majority of the answer would be yes because of his allies. But who knows what will happen? We're gonna have to find the mystery. This is a mysterious path. This is a mysterious trial. Because anything can and will happen. Until then, folks, after this brief ad, we are going to listen to a mashup. What mashup do we get to listen to? You're gonna have to tune in to find out. So stay tuned, folks. The fake promotional consideration is provided by the following.
In today's world, finding the right career can be tough, but luckily there's a place that can help. At TikTok Career College, we give you the resources and training you need to build your career in America's booming TikTok industry. Whether you want to earn your master's in adding text to screen, pointing at text on screen, or pointing at people who are pointing at text on screen, we've got you covered. America's attention span is shrinking, but the business of catering to that shrinking attention span is growing.
Without TikTok Career College, I'd have no idea how to hit that whoa, bunk that nay-nay, or make my grandpa dress up like Chucky from Rugrats and lip-sync a little baby song. Thanks, TikTok Career College.
At TikTok Career College, your professors are the best in their field. I can't believe I got to study at the feet of Dat Girl Turt Turt and Zanny DeVito.
I used to work in retail, but then I realized I could earn a lot more with a degree from TikTok Career College. Now I have my dream job of doing one-person reenactments of House Hunters episodes. I mean, I guess I don't get paid for this, and I still work in retail, but I do have nearly 2,000 followers.
What are you waiting for? Speed challenge your way through TikTok Career College today. Note, by attending TikTok Career College, you forfeit your ownership of your personal information, likeness, and soul.
And bye.
Karen, the doll collection.
So many choices.
Express yourself.
Where is your manager?
So many Karens to choose from. With Courtside Karen.
F you, LeBron!
Dog Walker Karen.
There's an African-American man threatening my wife.
Storm the Capitol Karen.
Nancy Pelosi eats babies for brunch.
Barbecue Karen.
I'm calling the police again.
QAnon Congresswoman Karen.
Wildfires were caused by Jewish space lasers.
Pew, pew, pew.
Courtroom Karen.
I'm not day drunk, you're day drunk.
And Trader Joe's Karen.
I'm
not wearing a mask at Trader Joe's. I have a breathing problem.
Each inflexible doll comes with bootcut jeans, a big gulp, plenty of privilege, and a flip phone to call the police whenever she sees something suspicious. Collect them all before the Democrats steal them. Karen mask not sold separately because science is fake and she's an American citizen, not a cheat.
It's my constitutional right.
Don't tell her no.
She's the absolute worst.
And we back, folks. Now let's get to some YouTube music. This one uploaded by Georgie Semler, who mashed up two songs together. Actually, one of the people that mashed up these two songs together, Blue by Eiffel 65 and I'm Good Blue by David Guetta, and featured vocalist BB Rexha. So please enjoy this amazing mashup, and I'll be back after this featured YouTube song.
Yo, listen. Yeah.
Wow, what a mashup that was. Blue and I'm Good fit very perfectly in that mashup. Thanks to Jordy Semler for that creative and editing and all that stuff. If you haven't listened to that, I mean, if you have, listen to it. If you haven't watched the video of the mashup, please go to Jordy Semler's YouTube channel for that. But now, after this brief ad, we end this Sunday's edition of Random Stuff, so stay tuned, folks!
On behalf of Southwest Airlines, we'd like to apologize for your flight's cancellation. We know this can be a frustrating experience for travelers, and we're here to help. Southwest gate agents are on hand to... Uh-oh, looks like someone is having a panic attack. Not a concern. Attacks are common among Southwest employees, especially during widespread system failures. If your agent is incapacitated, call our 24-hour service line, as in you'll be on hold for 24 hours before we pick up. Those on hold for more than 24 hours might find it soothing to bang their heads against the wall. In this unlikely event, make sure you bang your own head first before assisting your child in banging their head. A good bang on the head may help you forget you could have flown Delta for an extra $19. While you wait for us to get our shit together, enjoy 4 or 9 delicious meals from our highly rated restaurant partner, Hudson News. Luxuriating our sleeping zone between the outlet that doesn't work and a man who is, for some reason, barefoot. Fill the time by cursing us on social media and asking God to save you from this nightmare. Oh, this just in. There is no God. We value your business and thank you for flying Southwest Airlines.
Welcome to hell, rodents.
You are now free to go yourself.
That's not constructive.
Good night's sleep.
Folks, that is it for this Sunday edition of Random Stuff. Be sure to tune in next week for more of Random Stuff Season 4. So, good night, folks.